Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for the kind invitation to be with you this morning. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the Old Testament, the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17 is where we're going to read this morning. For most, I expect it is a very familiar story. And the desire behind our sharing this morning is to encourage us in the things of God. And then later on in the close of it is to encourage us or to convict us in our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ himself through the Word of God. Very familiar person here. I take great comfort in this individual because the New Testament tells us that he was, this man Elijah, was a man of like passions, just like you and I are. He had same problems. Different age, of course, but much of the same problems. Same temptations, maybe. Now, there's all kinds of things in life now, but we find that there really is the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and so on that tempts us and draws us away from the Lord. He had some of the same fears. If we had time to go through the life of Elijah, you would find that there was times in his life he was fearful. But he also shows us this great expose, if I can put it that, of the God of heaven himself. Now, as we begin to read in 1 Kings here, 17, Elijah really has no introduction. We just have a man who steps onto the scene of time into a dramatic circumstance, as it were. Very little is known of Elijah in this, but it shows us the making of a man. Now, there had been a whole lot of things go on in the background. But God is going to show us here, very succinctly, I believe, a few of the things that he uses in developing the child of God. So let's read, if we would, 1 Kings chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, verse number 1, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her, and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her, and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little cruse, oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of truth, or the word of the Lord in thy mouth, is truth. And we'll end our reading there, and we just will trust God's blessing upon it in our consideration of it. A lengthy reading, and we will by no means be exhaustive in our consideration of it this morning, but it's a wonderful story to study. And I want to draw to your attention three things, and by way of remembrance, I want to have them all begin with the letter B, at least in the King James Version. Hopefully it works out for you and yours. First of all, you want to see that there was a brook involved in this. And there are a lot of fantastic events happen at this brook. It's amazing as we consider what is transpiring by the brook Cherith. Then you want to see what happens out of the amazing section where we are introduced to a barrel. Just a barrel of meal that was really empty. Very little in the bottom of it. And yet God would use this provision, this barrel, and a little oil and a cruse to provide for his people. And then we see at the end of our consideration, a boy. The word isn't there in the King James, it's the son, but for memory's sake, I put it to you as a boy. Well, here's this man, Elijah. He steps onto the scene of time. And can you just for a moment imagine what it was like to step into the courtroom, as it were, before the king of Israel, and to say there's not going to be any rain. We all subsist on rain, right? If you were up in the Okanagan right now, you would see what dry weather does. It creates lots of problems. It created lots of problems for these folks. If you read on, you would find that they were out looking for water and out looking for food for their animals and so on. But Elijah, because he had stood before God, he had to have spent time with God. And I can say that because he could stand there and say there was going to be no rain, because it was founded upon the word of God. The Lord had said if they would forsake the Lord, he would withhold the rain, and there would be drought. Elijah could stand before Ahab because he stood before God. It is a good principle in our lives that we spend time standing, as it were, before the living God of heaven. That we have an appreciation of what he says, that we may be able to stand, or we may be able to sit beside someone and at some point say to them, Thus saith the Lord. You realize one good thus saith the Lord is far outweighing all of the I think I can say without fear of contradictions that sometimes we use. It doesn't matter what you will say. It matters what God has said. And we're so grateful for the word of God that we have in our language and for those who will minister it to us. And as we sit in front of God himself. This was the character of Elijah. Well, once he had delivered his message from God, God said, I want to send you somewheres. You need to go away for a while because there's a few more lessons you need to learn, and perhaps there would be quite a bit of animosity from Ahab, wouldn't there? There would be fear of his life. Later on, it would be fear of Ahab's wife, Jezebel. This is the same man who stands on Mount Carmel and defeats the 400 prophets of Baal, or God is used by God to defeat and to kill those prophets. He says, I want you to go out into the wilderness, turn eastward, and I want you to hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Well, a brook is just a little provision of water, isn't it? And in a land where there was going to be no water, it would be a very sustaining place. There's a couple of things happen at the brook. One, there is a natural event, and then there is the supernatural. You see, God uses the natural sometimes, doesn't he? The job you have, the place you have, the opportunities you have, those kinds of things. They're not just merely casual things. They're things that God provides in his creation, the food that we eat, the things that we have. Here was one by the brook Cherith where God says, I want you to wait there. I want you to hide yourself. There's a great principle starts to unfold here, or continues to unfold in the Word of God. We really have a great outlaying of it as we come to Luke's gospel, where it talks about discipleship, and it talks about the idea of forsaking everything. Remember the Lord said that to his listeners in Luke 14, was it? He talked about you had to forsake your home, your house, your family, those things. Yeah, he said, you've got to forsake your own life also. You see, God in type here shows us you need to put away yourself. Hide yourself. There's nothing to be of you here necessarily, Elijah. There's nothing to be of you here, Mr. Canfield. There's nothing of us. You see, there's a verse in the Bible that tells us that in all things, he might have the preeminence. It's not the preacher. It's not the person in the pew. It's the great God of heaven himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gets the preeminence. And that's what God is going to show, at least in part here. God is stretching Elijah's faith. You see, he takes someone. The Bible tells us that the just, four times it tells us this, once in the old, three in the new, the just shall live by their good works, their good intuition, their good abilities. Please don't let me confuse you. No. It says the just, those who are born again, those who are declared righteous, not guilty before God, shall live by faith. You see, sometimes we think that believing and trusting on the Lord Jesus is the end of faith. Well, it's not. We're saved by grace through faith. That's an important distinction, or an important verse to remember, because it's by grace. You're not saved by faith. You're saved by grace through faith. That is the vehicle God has chosen to use to save your soul and mine. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's the vehicle he'll use to save your soul should you choose as well. By grace, God has afforded and done all of the work. We listened to the blood, or of the blood, this morning. Oh, precious is the flow. What an amazing thing. The precious blood of Christ shed as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. He says, hide yourself. And there we can see now God is going to take the one who is living by faith. He'd lived in the wilderness. And he's going to stretch his faith. Anybody ever been to a physiotherapist? And sometimes they put you on that table and they start to take those tightened up muscles and they start to what? They stretch them out a little bit. And it's such a happy experience, isn't it? Just, oh, that feels, no, it's, oh, it hurts. But if you were given the opportunity or the direction by a doctor to do this so that you might get better, most of us would take the doctor's advice and we would be stretched so that we could better able to function in our physical lives. You see, God wants to stretch your faith. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean it's going to be always pleasant either. But just because it's unpleasant doesn't mean you're out of the will of God or out of the direction of God. God is conforming us into his image of his son. He's working and stretching. And so he says, Elijah, you wait by the brook. And you're going to drink of the water, the natural water that will be there, that will be provision for you. And because there's no food by the brook, he said, I'm going to do the supernatural, that which only I can do. I'm going to take those birds which don't care about where they get their food and so on and so forth. You know, they don't lay it up. It was said of the sparrow, but it's true of the raven as well, is it not? And they would go and they would gather bread and flesh and they would bring it to Elijah and they'd swoop in at the beginning of the day and at the close of the day. Who do you think God or Elijah was looking for in the morning and in the afternoon? He was looking for the birds. He's looking for God's provision. What a great place to be, Christian. Morning and evening, looking for that which only God can provide. It's a wonderful God. He says, you don't worry about tomorrow. You can't add one cubit, one inch to your stature by worrying about those things. He says, you just look to me. You know, we have another verse and another message in another place in the Bible which would talk about the Lord, how he walks to and fro on the earth looking to show himself strong. This is the God we serve. This is the God we have. And he's demonstrating it here in this man, Elijah, right by the brook Cherith. But there's a challenge comes. It would be challenging enough to wait by the brook, wouldn't it? I mean, for us in 2018 to spend time sitting all day by the brook, waiting for the birds, drinking of the water, no internet, no cell phones, no communication, nobody. God himself as his companion. What greater companion? But I would kind of want to get up and wander off, wouldn't I? Say, well, maybe there's somewhere else to drink and eat that I can have a little more time with someone else, a little better time. The Lord said to Elijah, wait. What would you be thinking as day by day, maybe as the drought went on, the judgment of God against the land of Israel, and the time goes on and the brook gets a little smaller and a little smaller? I mean, would you be starting to get your knapsack or your backpack or whatever, your suitcase? You're starting to gather up the things you've brought along, right? And you're saying, well, I better get ready because, and the brook dries up. I'd be packed and ready. I could see what's coming. What had God told Elijah? You wait. You go to the brook. We read that. Turn eastward. Hide yourself by the brook before Jordan. I've commanded the ravens, and you can drink of the water. And so on. After a while, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. You want to see what the man of God, the woman of God, the child of God, the young person of God, the person of God does? They wait for the word of the Lord. Now, just because some of you didn't catch it. The child of God, the man of God, the woman of God, the young person of God, they wait for the word of the Lord. Amen. What a tremendous blessing and privilege we have to have the inspired, infallible, written word of God in our language, in our possession today in Canada. What a great privilege. Wait for the Lord. Elijah undoubtedly spent time communing with the Lord. Another great verse another great message in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18 and verse 1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. We should be prayer warriors. People who pray, people who listen for the voice of God. Not some supernatural out there kind of thing, although it is a supernatural thing that God speaks to his creation. I'm not talking about pie in the sky, so to speak, but we have for us, we find that God in these last days has spoken unto us by his Son, and we have the full revelation of his Son. This book is alive, beloved. I read somewhere in a book the other day where somebody said the words on the page of a Bible are just words until you learn to listen to the Lord or they become real to you. No way. It's a living, breathing book. It's the inspired word of God. Elijah was listening. And the word of the Lord came to him, and now we find him passing from the brook over to the barrel. He comes, he's sent to a widow of Zarephath, a Gentile area, a place where it would be absolutely out of his comfort zone. He was used to the wilderness, yes. But he wasn't used to, maybe we call it, urban dwelling. And he's going to a widow woman. And when he gets there and finds out the widow woman in and of herself had no provision for him, God says, I'm going to sustain you there. He arose, he listened to the voice of God, he listened to what God told him to do, and off he went, and he asks the lady in a land or in a time where there is very little water in the land, fetch me a little water that I may drink, and perhaps you'll prepare me a little bit of food as well. Well, it would be a bold question to ask. The response of the lady is not out of the way at all. You would see that she wanted to be providing for her family and herself. But she too somehow is directed to appreciate what is going on here. And again, it's at the word of the Lord. Verse number 12. As the Lord thy God. Notice that it's important as you study this section. Thy God liveth. I don't have a cake. I just have a handful of meal in a barrel, a little cruise. I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may prepare it all, and my son and I may die. Well, here again, you're going to have a little bit of a natural provision, aren't you? A little bit of a meal in a barrel and a little bit of oil in a cruse. But if you take a little bit of faith, and I don't think I can say that of Elijah. I think he was a man of faith in a great God. You know, some people say sometimes, people like George Mueller, who was an astounding individual as you read his life story, was a man of great faith. We're not absolutely wrong in saying that, of course. But may I suggest to you that he was a man of faith in a great God. You see, it's the object of your faith, isn't it? It's the same as salvation. People think that you're saved by faith. Well, I can believe whatever I like. Have you ever spoken to someone like that? You have your religion, I have mine. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere about it. Absolute lie of the devil. You see, it does matter. Because only the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in that can save your soul. Here was a man of faith in a great God. We could read in between the lines a little bit maybe and paraphrase a little bit and say this. Elijah might be saying in the back of his mind, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it. Are you going to bring ravens with meal for the barrel again? Are we going to see water out of the ground? I don't know, but I just know you've told me to come here and you'll provide for me here. And so he exercises at the word of the Lord. He is obedient. If you remember nothing else this morning, remember this. This book can be summed up, I think, in really one word. Maybe three. Let's put three in it. Trust and obey. You see, it's obedience to this book. It's not enough to hear the voice of God. It's not enough to know what the Word of God says. It's not enough to be sincerely wanting to do what the Word of God says. All those are great things. But you see, God wants his people to be obedient. He wants to show himself to you. He wants to show his will to you. He wants to show his glory to you through his Son. And he wants you to obey what he asks you to do. For many of us, it's different things, right? In those little, I'm going to call them incidentals of life, just the going on. And it's really all just about the day-to-day, isn't it? Was Elijah living day-to-day? He was just going along day-to-day. Many of us are looking ahead, always wondering, what's the next great thing? How am I going to serve the Lord in some great way? Well, you serve the Lord in a great way by being obedient and diligent and a good follower of the Lord Jesus. That's what a disciple does. He's a follower. He follows the one who's ahead. It's not always easy. It's not always the place you want to go. Not always the thing you want to do or the thing you want to say. But there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, the sin writer said, but to trust and obey. Well, Elijah trusted and obeyed, and I expect he was rather happy. There was a provision for him physically. There was provision for the widow woman that was there as well through this barrel of meal and little cruse of oil. And he had a place to stay, and for the time frame, things were very, very good, I suppose, in just day-to-day life. But what must it have been like? It's day-to-day, every day to get up. And I picture the barrel as a wooden barrel as we would have in Canada, the steel bands. I don't know what bands they had around. I never thought of that before. However they held that barrel together and a little wooden top on it with a wooden handle. You put your hand in, you lift it up, and you look in, and is there meal there today? Oh, there's a little bit in the bottom. You see, I'd want the thing full. I'd want to go to bed at night and be able to go over to the barrel. We're good for a few days now. Thanks, Lord. But that's not often how the Lord works, is it? Remember we said he's stretching. Would there be any stretch to your faith and to my faith and to Elijah's faith and to what would one time be the widow woman's faith and her son in just waiting on the Lord for every day? I don't know what that's like in Canada for me. For physical provision. We are so, I want to say blessed in what we have for our physical provision. And I think sometimes it doesn't allow us to be stretched a little bit for these things. So we have a brook. We have a barrel, an almost empty barrel, a dried up brook. I mean, you see God working. What about your life? There may not be a brook in your life. There may not be a literal barrel in your life, but are there similar things that every day you have to wait? Maybe it's health. Maybe it's a marriage relationship. Maybe it's a relationship with mom and dad. Maybe it's the turmoil of what we're going to see in a widow woman, I think, here in a few moments with her son, the turmoil of conviction and back and forth and waning, trying to work the whole thing out. Maybe you're under conviction from the Spirit of God. Maybe for the salvation of your soul. You see, no man comes to the Father but that the Father draws him. What a tremendous, tremendous thing that the God of heaven would draw you and me to himself. But you see, conviction doesn't stop after salvation or conversion. Conviction goes on. Maybe there's something in your life that the Lord is convicting you about, and that's your barrel or that's your brook, or maybe you've been set aside in something. I don't know. But understand this, there's a great God ready and waiting and wanting to stretch and deliver you from whatever there is. Doesn't mean it'll happen instantaneously. Some people would say you get saved and everything's good from here on in. Well, everything is great from here on in, because as we heard from our brother this morning, we're on our way to heaven. I mean, how much better than that does it get? It doesn't get any better. But there's still some challenges in life. But they're challenges with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's great blessing and great privilege. Well, our final B is our boy. And this one who had been watching all of these things take place, who had been there every moment of the time he died. And there's things go on in that story. We would do well to study sometime and to root out. It's great, but what we see is this, the reaction of the widow woman and the reaction of Elijah to the death of this boy. The widow woman, her words were, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" You see, that's where I see the conviction of the things in the life of the lady. But it's going to be a grand thing. You're going to see conviction lead to conversion. You're going to see that she just doesn't push the conviction away. Yes, she has a desire. Yes, she is in mourning. Elijah's a little bit the same. His words to God were, he cried unto the Lord, verse 20, "O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow woman with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" What had God brought upon the widow woman? Nothing but good. An empty barrel, a little cruise, had sustained her. You see, God doesn't bring evil. God allows certain things to happen in the lives of individuals, but when we come to a New Testament verse, we find that all things work together for good. How many things? All things. We don't always use them for good, do we? We don't always take the lesson. We don't always turn the way the things that the Spirit of God is moving us, but God is working them out for our good. Let me ask you this. Is there any good pain? If you have a little child and they go over to the stove and the stove has got one of those electric burners and it's red, and they reach out and they put their hand on it and they immediately pull it back, was that good pain? It was really good pain, wasn't it? Otherwise, their hand would have been consumed. There would have been great damage done. This prevented some of the damage. Oh, yes, there was pain to the child. And you as a parent are awfully upset and consoling and all of those things. But it teaches the child, stop doing that, and maybe teaches them, don't do it again. You see what God does with his people sometimes. Another great verse in the New Testament that talks about the fact the Father chastises those whom he loves. And he loves us, beloved. Well, here you find Elijah, a man of faith again, exercising faith in a great God. He prostrates himself on the boy three times and prays to the God of heaven. He understands that there's only one who can give life. The Lord Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He goes on to reveal himself. I am he that was dead and am alive. Behold, forevermore. And at the end of this, the lady looks at the whole situation. The widow woman says, of a truth, the word of God is in your mouth. Is that how she puts it? The word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Let me close with this. The words of the Lord Jesus. As he said, I'm the resurrection and life. There's only one life giver. There's only one who can give you life. Abundant life, he tells his listeners in the Gospels. He says, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. Not only abundantly, more abundantly. That is the abundant Christian life. It's an obedience to God and to God's word. That is where abundance is. He's come to give life. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me in another place. In order to have spiritual life, everlasting life, it's going to be through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he gives us a little glimpse of himself here where he says, I am the truth. You see, there's all kinds of people you can listen to in the world, all kinds of radio programs and all kinds of TV broadcasts and all kinds of preachers. But unless they're teaching the truth, teaching what Christ taught and teaches, it's a lie. So, very quick synopsis of 1 Kings chapter 17. But I trust it will encourage you in your life with the Lord Jesus. For salvation, if you're not saved, may you take a few of the verses quoted in the Word of God and truly, gloriously be saved. But for the far majority of us here who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, what a delight to see some people stand here and talk in the glow of the Lord Jesus on them. May it encourage us to walk simply, obediently, with the Lord day by day. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity of reading thy word, of sharing a little bit of it. We ask thy blessing, our God, upon it, upon the hearers here. And Father, we thank you for the provision that you have provided for us, both in your Son and for our physical needs, for we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.